Hi there, everyone. My name is Thomas Segi. I'm the 2019 Pride of the Hide, and welcome to the Kink Closet. This is a podcast where I'm going around interviewing people throughout the community and finding out the story. Today, I'm joined by the puppy Fifi. Say hello.
Hello.
Now, the puppy Fifi is the Great Lakes puppy 2003 and the International puppy 2004. And if I'm correct, you were the first female international puppy. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am currently a lifestyle kinkster. I live in South Bend, Indiana, so I am surrounded by a very conservative real world community. But I spend my time traveling around the United States, and gratefully now I get to spend my time traveling the world.
Yes.
Still getting to talk about my love of being a puppy.
Awesome. Now, if I'm correct, you were part of the Windy City Boys Troop?
Yes. When I lived in Chicago in 2002 through 2005, I met some of the members of the Boys Troop, and they were like, well, we need you. Yeah. And so I joined the Boys Troop, and they kind of had to change their bylaws to let me in. and then they nominated me president, so I became president of the Boys Troop, which was so much fun. It was, at the time, in the early 2000s, the boys did the stuff that I think the puppies are really doing now. We were the ones who made sure we were there for all the fundraisers and doing the tickets from, you know, heel to balls. And so having a female in that role sometimes was a little awkward in a very male predominantly driven atmosphere, but we had so much fun. We did things for the Leather Archives and Museums. We did things for, like, Hellfire Chicago. We did all the things. It was so much fun.
Awesome. Well, maybe we might get to hear a bit about that throughout the podcast. Now, so I'm going to ask you the question that everyone gets to ask. Tell me who you were before you were a fetish person.
I was so lost. I was lost as a person. I had been kinky from the time I started having sex. I mean, 15 years old, I'm asking to be tied up. So I knew that I was always, and I knew I was bisexual, but I didn't know what that meant. It was the 80s. I didn't know that girls, it was okay for girls to like girls. And so, and then in the 90s, I was a club kid. I used to spend time at, and I would go to the gay clubs in Chicago, like the Vortex, and dance all night long, karaoke, all the things. There was kissing booths, there was just so much going on, but I couldn't figure out where I belonged. And then I got married, and I married an Arab man because I thought, oh, he's mysterious and I love that. And and then we got divorced, and I was still so lost as a person. And in early 2000, I found this because I was going out, getting online, doing the, I'm going to meet people. Oh, why is my first screen handle was FemSlave71. Oh, horrible. Like, so cliche.
Yeah.
I'm a FemSlave. Don't know if you know what it means, but
no.
Turns out that's exactly what I am. It's like I wrote the book early on. But I met a community. I went to a munch, and I went to my first munch, and it was me and one other person who, it was her very first day, and two other people who had been in the community for a long time.
Yep.
And I walked in there, and we sat and talked for 2.5 hours, and I went, oh, this is home.
Yes. You found a place.
I found a place.
So how was that like, going to that first munch the first time?
Well, that other girl who was there, that was her very first month. She and I became best friends.
Yeah.
We spent almost 2 decades being best friends. We have moved far apart at this point, and only through life do we get to catch up still a few times a year. But she is always going to be like, we were inseparable because I'm an extrovert and she's an introvert. And she was like, oh, let's go, Amy, because you'll do all the talking. So she would push me out there, which was great because I was like standing up going, yes, beat me, flog me, do all the things. I'm here. That's Becky. She'll sit there and watch. And
we're an item together.
Yes. We come together. She takes the pictures. She makes sure I'm safe.
Yes. And I get her out of her comfort zone.
Yes.
And she feels part of the community and connected and stuff.
And she's now a leader in the community in Illinois, in Central Illinois. She helps run different community groups and has outreach to people to bring people around to different communities. Part of, and her partner is also strong in the community. And I find that amazing.
Yeah.
Because we have both become, we're from a little podunk backwards town called Bloomington, Indiana. I mean, Bloomington, Illinois. There's nothing going on there. I mean, there's cornfields all around, and everybody has sex in a cornfield once in their life. That is, you know.
Yourself included?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, when I was young and dumb. Oh, yes. And so now to see that both of us are out there in the community, and we are pushing to be leaders in the community and to let people know, because we did things that were incredibly unsafe.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't a safe call. We didn't know what a safe call was. I remember begging somebody once not to fuck me because I was so scared.
Yeah.
And I had just met some guy at a house in the middle of nowhere. Nobody knew where I was. No cell phones to call. And when I found the community, and especially when I found the leather community, I felt like I was safe.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to go to a club, being held and told what a safe word is, yeah, and told what a safe call is, and having somebody else say, no, that person called red, you need to stop your scene.
Yeah.
It changed how I felt about so much stuff.
So let's go into that a bit further. How did the leather community make you feel safe? I think you mentioned it, but like, let's go into a bit of detail. What was it about it that you were feeling in yourself, and the things around you helped you feel those things?
Knowing that, like, I could go meet somebody and I could go back to a group of people and say, hey, do you know this person? What are they like? Are they, you know, are they safe to play with? What kind of a player are they? Do they want heavy play? Do they want light play? Because I knew what I wanted. I knew I wanted to play hard, and I knew, right away I knew I wanted to do like extreme levels of things, and I was so terrified. And then I went to Chicago, and I met someone in Chicago, and I was like blown away, head blown away. And I was able to look at people and go, are they safe?
Mm-hmm.
And I had this whole community of people telling me, yes, that's somebody safe to play with. Yes, you can do extreme things with them.
Yeah.
They're going to take care of you. They're going to make sure you're okay. You're going to get a call afterwards. You're going to have somebody there. Here's people who are going to be there when you're coming down.
Yes.
And that, having that, like, now we have Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm crashing after con crash, we all have it. Come Tuesday or Wednesday, we're all feeling kind of depressed. And I can get on Facebook and go, hey, you guys, I'm kind of feeling down. Give me some hugs.
Yeah.
Back then, we didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing somebody was responsible enough to call you up.
Yeah.
Or make sure they were at your house that day just to cook dinner with you.
Mm-hmm.
Was a huge difference, knowing that you had those people. So we didn't have all the things that they have right now.
Yeah.
To help keep themselves safe and warm and and upbeat. But as the community did that for us.
So it was the community that provided that network, they were responsible.
Yes. Very responsible.
Yeah.
And it was a warm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And even then you could still talk to people who had been in the community for, you know, years. I used to talk with, his name is Hans, and he's from Amsterdam, and he ran the Leather Rose in Chicago. And for a while, I lived above the Leather Rose in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Whole lot of fun. I used to do my laundry in the basement dungeon and, like, sleep in a sling while my laundry was going. Like, literally just be, like, napping in a sling. But hearing Hans tell stories of the 70s.
Yeah.
And America in the 70s and stuff like that was really interesting. And he'd talk about just the fear that you had, and you would just have to push past that if you ever wanted to learn. And everybody got hurt at some point because you knew that the risk was high, and you don't have to worry about always getting hurt now.
Yeah.
And it isn't as scary. We can do things, risk aware, consensual kink, and still do those heavy, extreme things, but feel like you're safe doing it.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. The fact that you say that, it's good to know that there is progress with those things that we are moving forward in terms of having procedures and practices in there to help people feel like they can explore, but in a safe manner.
Oh, and segregation of the people.
Yeah.
Like, and I would never dare walk into the gay men's club where they're having an event.
Yeah.
As a female, I'm not going to, me being in there interrupts their flow, and having to have separate dungeons and separate areas and play spaces for everybody. There's so much more integration now. People are okay playing, like, the heterosexual couples play over here, and the lesbian couples here, and the gay couples here, and seeing the integration is so much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
'Cause I enjoy seeing it. I love seeing people playing and getting off on being who we are as kinky people.
I know. I think I felt that last night.
I know, it's so much fun.
Yes.
Doesn't matter where we are or who we are, what sex we are, what gender. I'm finding that I am, what I always said was bisexual. I'm pansexual. I'm okay. I like people for their intellect and their brain and who they are as people. And so what's under your pants I really couldn't care about. We'll have fun regardless.
Well, yeah, and I felt that too, with just in my brief time knowing you, and for all the viewers, listeners, I met Puppy Fifi last night, and I said, "How's your night?" And Fifi goes, "Having a great time. All the boys all over me, and I love it." I'm like, "All right, cool. Party."
I think I was the only woman in there too. Two floors, all men. Nobody caring about boobs. I didn't care. I was touching leather. There was a boy, he had orange on. I'm like, "Do you understand what the orange means? It means you'll do anything. I'm going to grab you by the collar now and take you with me. Do you understand that?" And he's like, what? "Orange means anything, dear. Come here, let me lick your neck." So I was having so much fun with that.
And that's good. And that's important to kind of know that. And it also makes everyone else feel comfortable as well, because some people do feel off-putting when there's that stuff happening, until you feel like it's okay. And that, okay, I can still do what I do, and no one's breaking flow, as you said earlier.
Right.
So let's backtrack there. Tell me about some of the times that you were quite, say, you liked heavy things. Tell me about some of those heavy things that you used to get into.
Oh. So, I'm an attention hog. I'm an attention whore. Like, I love to be on display at all times.
Yeah.
So, I used to play at the Leather Rose frequently, and my owner ran the front, and we would kind of get things going on a Friday, Saturday night. So, I literally would get, okay, go in there. This person's going to beat on you.
Yeah.
And so... one day they decided to put me on a spanking bench, and they were using a bullwhip.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of intense.
Yes.
I was bent over. They were coming at me from behind with the bullwhip and hitting a particular area in a woman's body, very sensitive to a bullwhip. Okay. And I'm squealing, and I'm like obviously enjoying myself. And unfortunately, there was a ring of 30 people around us as he's flinging this whip at me. And then I called out, and I'm like, "Red, no more." And I sat up. Unfortunately, I came all over, all down, like on the floor, puddles. Yeah. And then the dominant walked over to me and went, "Did you just call out so you could have an orgasm in front of this entire room of people?" I was never more humiliated. I got dragged by my hair and sat in the corner, just stay there, and just told to stay there, because I literally called out and then had an orgasm.
Wow. So selfish of you.
I know, right? I felt so bad. But that, I mean, getting to do things like that, getting to do things like, so all the guys were having a huge fisting party in the back of the Leather Rose. This is so much fun. And I'm so spoiled. And so there were 15 slings set up.
Yeah.
All men. And then I get traipsed in there in this like crinoline skirt, like hair in a corset crinoline skirt, and they prop me up in one and then come in and start fisting me. And this dominant guy comes in, and he starts, and of course he wants to double fist. Okay, fine. That's what we're doing.
Yes.
I'm obviously squealing and having a ball, completely forget that there's a, you know, 15 men and all the men in the room. Yeah. And the next thing you know, he's just like, the symbol for me is now the double clap. I'm like, seriously? Seriously? Yeah. So to get to be fisted in a room full of gay men. And it was just like, that's the best thing ever. So I've gotten to do some things like that. I got to do some demo bottoming for... all right. So Jay Weissman wrote the book S&M 101.
Okay.
Yeah. Really cool guy. Used to come to town, to Chicago. And just so happens that we had the opportunity to take him around town one day.
Yeah.
At the time, my owner's car, like the side door wouldn't open because we were waiting on hinges. Yeah. Something goofy, you know. So we're taking him around to the dungeons. We're taking him around to Leather Archive and Museum.
Giving him the tour.
Giving him the tour. I am in a little schoolgirl skirt, little white coat with a little collar, big wide honking leather collar with a giant D-ring on it. And I have no underwear on, and I have to climb in and out the side door with him sitting in the back seat. I'm like, hi, Jay. Just like nonstop, yeah, all day. And I'm like, I feel like I'm scening all day.
Yeah, you're definitely in something.
Yes. So that was hysterical and quite fun. But also, I can't express enough, if you have the opportunity to go to Chicago, go to the Leather Archives.
Mm.
Because I lived there, didn't realize how much I enjoyed it till I had moved away from Chicago for a long time and then went back.
Yeah.
Leather Archives is an amazing place.
Yeah.
The history of leather that's there is just makes you quiver.
Oh, I'm going over to Chicago in May this year, so...
Oh, good.
Yes. I hope to go there. A little something on. Don't know what there is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Just visiting family, you know.
Yeah. All the leather family. That's fun. Oh, yeah. Getting to go to that every year.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Are you going this year?
I will probably go to at least the Vendor Mart. Because, yeah, you know, always time to get new knee pads or puppy mitts or something.
I might see you there.
Yay!
Now, you've mentioned a few times owner. Do you want to share anything about that?
I was living as a 24/7 slave for a married couple, Mr. Simone and her husband, Joe.
Yeah.
She was the counterpart. She was the international handler, 2004. I didn't work outside the home.
Yeah.
So I was a full-time slave,
mm-hmm,
for almost 8 years.
Yeah.
And that was a huge thing to, like, I look back on that now and go, holy shit. No. They owned every aspect of my,
yeah,
life.
Yeah.
And whatever, like, there was protocol. In the morning, I was required to do certain things in the morning, do certain things at night. Some nights I slept on the side of the bed on the floor. Some nights I had a different bed in another room. Sometimes I was able to sleep in the bed with them.
Yeah.
There was expectations of me at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Protocol, it was a high protocol household.
Yeah.
I was the alpha slave, and there were other slaves. There was one other live-in slave who did work outside the house. Then there were four other, I called them the satellite slaves.
Yes.
Who had their own lives and would intertwine with ours when the owners needed, yeah, additional things. And I had to manage all their schedules, and I, yeah, managed all the household bills, and I managed, so like, it was a job.
It feels very like Downton Abbey kind,
yes,
of thing.
Yes. It was, I ran that household.
Yes.
And it was fun. When I look back on that now, I mean, yes, real life gets in the way. We all have, that happens.
Yeah.
But when we got to really live that life, I was walking around Chicago with electric pink hair, in little ponytails on top of my head, a collar all the time, saying, yes, ma'am, what can I get for you? And I had like one of the first Palm Pilots back in 2002 because I had to take care of the schedule.
Yeah.
And so it was such a neat experience. I still look at it and I know that in my heart I'm a slave.
Yeah.
And the things that I do still are, I want to take care of the person I'm with. I want to take care of them and whoever I'm serving, whether it be for a weekend or whatever. I want to make sure your coffee is ready and, yeah, the way you like it and, yeah, in the right cup. And the bed is made before you go to bed and the chocolate's on the pillow and,
yeah,
the whole thing. And I love living like that.
Well, isn't it funny how you said that your first screen name was Femme Slave 71?
Yes.
And that was foreshadowing something,
oh, gosh,
that you,
yes,
didn't realize it was, but then it did.
Yes.
So did you ever think that you would be where you were, say, 20 years ago when you said that you met Becky?
No. I'm, like, when I met Becky and I finally found her, I was, when I finally found that group, I was like, thank you. Thank you for being here. And to see where I am now, I'm even more blown away. Yeah. Like, I didn't expect to pick up and leave Central Illinois and move to Chicago.
Yeah.
And live in Chicago and then strike out on my own and do all the things that I'm doing. So it's where I've seen myself come. I've grown as a person.
Yeah.
This year, there were two things I said I wanted to do for my New Year's resolution. And it is to travel and to own my own baggage.
Yeah.
And I am doing that with full force. I am looking back and going, that is baggage that I have. I don't need to keep bad relationships. I don't need to keep... I had things happen that, you know, as a kid, and I have daddy issues. And so I love having a daddy.
Yeah.
I have a daddy right now, and that's, you know, and I have a binky, and I have my stuffies and all the things. And I know that I have daddy issues, and that's why I like to go there. But we talk about it, and he's like, no, it's, why is that unhealthy then for you to want to do that?
Yeah.
You're right. I'm doing things that are healthy for me.
Good.
In a much more healthy manner than I ever did.
Yeah.
In my
owning it then.
Right.
So we're about to finish off. What advice would you give to someone? Let's put it this way. Someone who feels like they come from a blip town that doesn't exist. What advice would you give to them who feels like this could be something for them?
Keep going until you find it. Don't stop. There is, you don't have to stay in your hometown to find a group. Travel the 45 minutes to go meet the munch, sit and dinner, have dinner with somebody, talk about it, get online, have the conversations. Don't stop, because it really is out there.
Yeah.
And when you find that place that you fit in, you know, you can get a job at a factory anywhere.
Yeah.
Go find the place that you want to be. Because tomorrow's not promised.
No.
There is no guarantee of tomorrow. So I'll never want to wait to start my life. And I've watched people wait to start their lives. And no. I don't save things for a special occasion anymore. I enjoy the things now.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow's not guaranteed. So go find what you want.
Thank you. That's sage advice. All right. So, Fifi.
Yes.
How do you feel?
Great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming into my closet. And now we've come out of it together. Yes. Oh, well, thank you very much. All right. That's all we have time for today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it. And thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Fifi, thank you. It was very, very enjoyable.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Have a great time. Bye.